It's your boy, DJ ATL Styles. Don't be afraid of how you feel. Drop it, drop it, drop it.
Your boy, DJ ATL Atlanta Styles, kicking it. Yes, kicking it. We got a lot of stuff getting ready to pop off and pop in, but I definitely got to get to this quickly. We're in a state of emergency right now. I'm going to say this. I just listened to Charleston White and a lot of people for the last couple of months, and I realize that we're really in a state of emergency for definitely young African-American people right now. We just had, like, the last couple of days, we had a rapper get killed every minute. I mean, killed, shot up, and mothers are getting, they killed. And I just think it's worth talking about now to try to figure out what solutions can we stop this trend from keep going on. This whole drill music, because that's what it's called, drill music. These guys talk about what they got coming, and how many people they didn't diced off or killed. And I think that that music now is in a state of emergency where we might have to start pulling in and stop having radio stations plug this and this music being plugged. Anybody want to speak on this right now? This is your boy, DJ TLM Style.
What's going on? Good evening, whatever.
4180-6786.
Good evening.
What's up, there, man?
Hey, what's going on? Good evening, good evening.
What's going on, AJ?
Hey, what's up with Miss Uncheckle? How you doing? Good evening.
DJ ATL, what's good?
Hey, how you doing? How y'all doing? All right, I'm start bringing people in. Anybody want to come in? Just push one so I know I can bring you in and ready to speak. I just wanted to put that out there in the air because I think this is something that's very hurting the young community right now. We having these young people getting shot up on the highways, expressways. We just had one out of Florida last night who just got out of jail. Before he got around the corner, someone shot up his car. So, a lot of people are suspecting that, you know, if he involved in gangs, they don't even know. But somebody's mom right now is crying up and just like in tears because they didn't lost their son tonight. So I just want y'all just to look drill into that. And I'm going to start going over some names of some people who have been killed in the last week or two with this because I'm seeing it all down the board, all over the internet of these young people getting killed.
Yeah, that's a tragic situation.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. What's going on, Mr. Six?
What's going on?
All right. How's it going?
Good evening.
All right.
Good evening. Good evening.
Well, yeah, I definitely think that's a tragic situation. I mean, you touched on the drill music, and I believe that's started out in Chicago, I believe. But I mean, the story that drill music is portraying is nothing new. You can go all the way back, even if you want to start off with NWA. You know what I mean? You go up through the years or whatever. There's always been that certain type of music where I'm going to get you. I'm going to set you up. I'm going to lay you down. I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to get back. I just think now it's escalated to a point where, you know, the subliminal messaging or the messaging period that's going on in the music, that's going on in the culture, especially with, you know, the Internet. It makes it a whole lot easier because, like you said, people want to brag about, you know, I've got chains, I've got, you know, cars, clothes, and females, as all brothers know, that stereotype. And so with what's going on, and it's just got everybody focused on certain things, especially in Chicago, with all the deaths and all the murders that's going on there. I don't think it helps. It's intensifying a lot of situations. So whether it's black-on-black crime or any crime on any type of crime, but it's just, you know, where, like you said, you're focused on the culture and what's going on inside of the culture.
So my question
is...
My question is Uncheckable, and good evening, everybody. This is Six Eyes. So hello to everybody. My question is, you hear about Chicago in the news all the time. What is the history of Chicago that has it so violent? I mean, can anybody what's the history of Chicago?
Okay.
You know what?
Lady,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was born and raised in Chicago. Me personally, don't believe everything you guys hear or see.
Mm-hmm.
Put it just like that, because, like I said, I was born and raised in Chicago, and yes, it's a lot of stuff go on, but I just feel like you mind your business, go about your day, do you, don't get in nobody else's business, you'll be okay. Now, with the gangs and everything going on, hey, you know, these kids is just doing the most.
Right,
they killing each other. It's been an incident that people could be riding down the street. You better not get no road rage because they going to probably shoot your car up. You know, but like I said, don't believe everything you hear, because it's a lot of stuff going on other places and different cities and states, and they just don't talk about it, you know.
It just seems like they just focus on Chicago. I'm saying, you know, Chicago is not the only place, but
exactly. That's what I'm saying. No, it's a lot of people like, oh, I don't want to come to Chicago. I have friends that then visit me from different states, and they love it. You know, they love it. Well, I guess because I don't stay in Chicago. I don't stay on the west side or the south side. And when people meet me, they're like, oh, well, you from the south side of Chicago. I'm like, why is that the first place you think of when you hear Chicago? But no, it's not all what you hear about. No, it's not. It's not. And I don't know why they're focusing on Chicago.
So it would be
Chicago
pizza.
This is DJ Atlanta South. I want to say something on both of which your comments just both of y'all came up. One thing about Chicago is when we talk about Chicago, and I think this is the mixed confusion, Chicago is a big place. There's so many towns and cities. And I think a lot of times when they say Chicago, they try to represent Chicago is just, it's just Chicago. You got the suburbs, you got all these other areas, just like here in Atlanta, we got all these other areas. But they classify under Chicago. Now, the problem that I can say for a fact in Chicago, that which I know my own studies, is that, yes, you have a lot of young people killing each other, and there's a lot of gangs. There's a lot of activity of that is actually just going on. What makes Chicago so much in the news? It wasn't like this 10 or 15 years ago, but what makes it so much fascinating is that you have, which is say, the drill music is kind of a stepping stone of that, but I'm gonna go to something with NWA, because I'm glad you brought up something about NWA. The difference between the time and era when NWA was coming out, they talked about what they were going through in their community and where they felt like they were being disrespected by the policemen, and they felt like what they were trying to do was sell a narrative to say, hey, this needs to stop, or this needs to figure out how this can not keep going on, but just telling their story on how it really does not, this is not a good life to run. So I give a little bit more passion to NWA than versus these new guys, because the difference between these new music, there's no positivity out of it. They just sell the negativity, and they run with the negativity. There's no add or plus to come up with a solution. At least NWA, they came up with solutions about, yeah, this is what's going on in our community. This is what we need to do to try to fix it. So I'll say that. Now, getting back to Chicago, I think the reason why Chicago gets some of his records is so many towns and so many cities that's doing a lot of bad things in their city. Now, don't get me wrong. Before I get right in, I'm going to go ahead and drop the name of the new rapper who got killed last night, which is very thing. His name was called Baby Chino. He was shot in Florida. He just came right out of jail and got on the expressway, and then someone followed him and shot up the car. I mean, and the thing that's so fascinating about this situation is that these guys use an automatic shotgun. I mean, it was automatic. So people could have saw this person, but there's nobody really coming forward and saying anything. So this is starting to become, to me, I feel is a very major problem now with people, because it seems like these young people, whatever's going on with this drill music, whatever's going on, and I'm saying he just had one song. He wasn't a big name. He had one song. But being affiliated with this, it seems like whatever they affiliate with, this is what's going on. Also here in Atlanta, we had a national coroner. I don't want to say bad things about the guy, because I think the guy within F.I. Lucci was arrested for being a driving the car that did a drive-by. This guy is a national recording artist now, y'all. He's a national recording artist who should be doing tours. He's selling records. He's name brand. But he's somewhere driving a person to do a drive-by? Y'all hear me on this?
Yeah, that don't even make sense.
Yeah.
So this stuff has gotten to the point where I sit around and look about it, and I go on YouTube, and there's a lot of big shout-outs to a lot of people who do a lot of media and does this coverage on this stuff. They talk about how all these are. And this young guy who just got shot, we just mentioned his name again, Chino, Baby Chino, isn't the first to get killed like this. They said this has been going on for the last couple of weeks now. They had people just coming out, they're going to the grocery store, or they had another guy who just came right out of jail and got shot. So it seems like whatever's going on, but when it comes to this, it's all associated with drill music. Drill, and all, to me, they connected all of it to drill music. So these guys are actually living what they're talking about in their songs. The difference between NWA, they talked about what they seen and what they were going through, but they didn't say that they try to live to glorify this. These guys are living to glorify it, and they're getting killed.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this. Being a creator of music, I'm not going to let you put violence on music. If you take the lyric away, it's just a composition of instrumentals. So I'm not going to let you put the violence on the drill music. It's the upbringing of the household that they grew up in.
Exactly.
It's their environment
exactly.
that they're raised around. And if they're weak, they get into they get into trouble, put it that way.
Right.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, you ain't gonna put it on the music, brother.
I wouldn't put it on the music either. It's all in how you was brought up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's two pieces, man. I look at it as most like misguided.
Misguidance.
Not having a good role model. You know, how the young people, I can speak on like South Carolina here, there's a lot of misguidance before I got involved with going out and ministering to the youth. You know, a lot of them got a lack of role models or bad role models. There's a lot of gang shit going on, and some of them representing what they call fake gang shit. I mean, they acting like they're in the gang, but not in the gang. But everybody wants that real fast money, and there's nobody out there to guide them, because there's a lot of parents, not all based on parents, but most parents here, they're not around to watch their kids, what they do. They watch things on TV. They get misguided and thinking that's how life's supposed to be. I'm supposed to go out here and shoot somebody. Or they got the wrong type of video game that they're playing, and then they think it's like a video game. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to take my parents' gun or whoever gun, and I'm gonna shoot somebody, and life just gonna start over like that. It don't start over like that. So it's a lack of guidance to it. Not having the right role models to be in their life to guide them in the right direction, because they think it's all about getting that money real fast. Or I'm gonna do this because they step on my shoe. I don't see stuff like step on the shoe. They want to shoot you. Somebody step on the shoe. They want to shoot you over smaller things that just really don't make no sense to do stuff for. But to them, it makes a lot of sense because they trying to say, "Oh, I ain't gonna be called on punk because this person, bumped into me in the wrong way and didn't apologize." They think, "Oh, I'm supposed to fight for that." Or they go in quick and grab a gun and want to shoot for that. We just had one just recently. I got an organization called Vacuum, and I get plenty of phone calls when they have to take people and take them to a guidance and put them in safety immediately. Because we just had one with three police officers here with the sheriff's department in Richmond County area. They got shot because of three boys. They walked in. They had an argument with each other. They was fighting. One got mad because the other one got knocked down. The brother went into the house to get the gun and shot him over that. And then when Richie kind of showed up, the same boy, he shot three officers. One died, and they ended up killing him. And the boy was only 8 years old. So it's not just Chicago. It's a lot of places all over. But, it's just what the news is told to and put out.
It's a lot of that. You're right. You're so right. It's affecting everywhere.
Yeah.
It's affecting everywhere. And I just want to say on top of this, I know there's a lot of people. We're going to let everyone speak on this because I think this is a very important topic to talk about. But I do want to say one thing, and I want everybody to know this is one person I've been following the last couple of days on this, and I've been listening closely to what he's been saying, and that's Charleston White. I know a lot of people say that he's been a negative stereotype because he talks crazy, and sometimes he's here, he's there. But a lot of stuff he's talking about hit home. And he said it in his own mind that we in trouble. We in a state of emergency. I mean, we got people and these gangs and stuff. They're getting our babies killed. And that's why I'm connecting it right back down to where I just wanted to say what y'all was saying earlier. I don't want to say it's a part of music, but it's the association of what's going on with connected to the music is what's going on and why these young people are getting killed. And
you can't blame it on the music. You can't.
No, it's not the music. No, you don't understand. Not the music. It's the connections to what's around in the music. You got to understand the culture.
So what's in drill music? What's in drill music?
Drill music
educate me.
Tells
I'm a
people
producer.
Drugs.
What's in drill
music?
You
on
and this. I don't know.
It's a new thing. Drill music tells you, okay, yeah, I'm going out and I'm going to shoot somebody. I'm going to kill somebody. I'm taking how many numbers of people. They're taking numbers on how many people getting killed. Yeah, they take numbers. And I got hated. I got this. I got that. I got my car. I got my blunt. I'm making cheese. This guy, he ain't like me. I'm gonna dike him out. How many hits and how many people I didn't kill. That's what I'm saying. That's what that music is all. That's what drill music is all about. I don't know if anyone else on the line right now who wants to speak on that knows about that, but that's exactly why they call it drill music. And drill music is not, it is based out of Chicago, but it's also done in New York, California, New York, Florida, all over, Atlanta. They talk about how many people they take out.
Okay, well,
and
let's start where it
originated.
One mic. So when I'm done speaking, I'll take
complete. Where it actually did originate, it actually originated out of New York.
DJ,
to be honest with you.
Mr. Six is going to touch this on real quick.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Six.
Okay. So my question is, okay, so for the people that's from Chicago, we got Uncheckable, and ain't somebody else from Chicago?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
no.
So you're the only one. Okay. So is that true with this drill music?
Well, I can't say about drill. I can't speak on drill music because I don't listen to drill music. I'm an R&B girl, so I never was into rap and stuff like that. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't think it's the music, before all this shoot 'em up bang bang music came out, I was raised by a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
My brother started selling drugs, and in 2000, my brother and his girlfriend got killed.
Oh,
sitting in the car, And only thing we could say was from drugs. He was selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just got out the car with him. So I can't say it's about the music. It's all in what you do. And my brother was out there trying to get money because my mom was always struggling, you know, to raise us, raising two kids on her own. So I can't say it's the music. It's who you grow up around, your community, all that. It don't have anything to do with the music.
Yes, mainly your environment. This is AJ and the squad on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Call the number is 424-243-9617. Press the 1, join the conversation. We got a lot of people here, and we're having a conversation. Is it the music or is it the people? You know, so give a call, press the 1. Let's see what you think.
Six Eyes, may I?
Yes.
To speak on it in a personal matter, like
yes,
me, in my growing up, I was involved in gangs. I can honestly say that. It's not the music, in my opinion, for what changed me. Like, it's more of the misguidance. You know, my followers there, it's not my parents. It's just who I choose and saw that. I saw the money that was being made versus how when I came over. I'm not originally from South. I'm originally from Jamaica. That's where I was born.
Okay.
I came over here in 89. So it's more of the mindset when we came over here, we didn't have much. And then I saw what other fellas was having, what they was doing, having fun. Then I was looking at how, you know, we have love in the house. That was the sweetest thing. We had love and encouragement. But I wanted more than that. I wanted what the other kids got. You know, the other kids had money. They had these big wads of money and stuff. And I was like, how you got that? And they started telling me how you got that. I said, well, it's cool. I was scared at first, but then when I tried it, I went forth and I started doing it. So it's not, and that's just, you know, the music is what people try to blame them, in my opinion. They look at the music and say, oh, they're doing this in the music, so I'm going to blame him. He learned that from the music. No, I tell people it wasn't the music. It was just my own self-conscious of greed. I was taught the right way, but my mindset just, I wanted that real bad. I just couldn't wait. And so when I got involved with the wrong crowd, and then when I got arrested and went to jail, that would change my mind, because when I got behind on prison wall, it's a whole different ball game. Who you thought was for you and was going to help you out, no matter what, they turn your backs on you. So I had an opportunity and was granted to get out and given a new start on life. And that would change my mindset. So that's why I'm so active now as a leadership in South Carolina. I work with youth ministries. We go behind prison walls. I go to any church, any school, anything like that, and speak on that. It's a team of us that does that.
Because
we don't want
man.
People to go into the same atmosphere and the same mistakes. So it's not about the music. He was trying to cook and say, oh, because he was watching that on music. I had no music like that to watch. Only thing I knew was reggae and R&B. I ain't knew them about rap and stuff like that. I learned about that later on because I had to sit there and watch, because I got kids now that watch that. But you got to be around your kids when your kids see that. You got to teach. You got to have that guy to teach that. It's not about that. Okay, music, but it's not about that. That's not what life is going to be about. So it's all about the guys and the mindset of the young person as themselves or what they have going on. You know, as parents, we can teach our children everything we want to, but it's at the end, it's up to them. Because when they hit that age, when they can go out there, they got to take that, you know, chance of saying, I'm going to go by what my parents been teaching me, or I'm going to follow the wrong crowd and get in trouble. Hopefully, what we do, we try to stop them before they even get to that point of going with the wrong crowd. Because we go and talk to them, say, hey, I've been in gang. I got away from that. So it's not about the music. I never killed nobody, but I almost did. See, I done robbed some people, and I almost killed them. That's what got me caught. I did a strong arm robbery and got a second chance. So when
I'm glad you reaching back,
so
going into the prisons, you know, making a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, that says a lot, because a lot of people wouldn't think to do that. So that's actually good, you know, that you're you know, helping people get a second chance, you know, and learning from your mistakes that they won't repeat. That's a good thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm,
well, it's your boy DJ ATL Lab Styles. I know we got some more callers. I know it was a caller 6815, also 5673. I think they want to speak. I'm going to try to get some more people to speak on it. So feel free to speak. Okay, 5673 or 615. And also let us know your name and what town you're calling from, what city.
Hi.
May
hey.
I?
Hello, Queen. What's going on? Good evening.
Good.
What up, Queen?
Hi, it's the Queen from North Carolina.
What's up, Queen?
How's everybody? Hi, honey.
Hi, Queen.
How are you, Miss? How are you, Mr. Six, Miss Uncheckable?
I'm good.
DJ, AJ.
What's up,
what's how's
up?
Everybody?
Hi, baby.
So, and may I, please?
Absolutely.
Yes, you may.
So in listening, first of all, I hope everyone's doing well. In listening to y'all's conversation, I think it's in the school system and working with our young people in my community, I honestly believe it's a little bit of everything. Back when we were growing up, and I can say we because I think most of us is a little seasoned, the rap music was simple rap music. There wasn't the guns. There wasn't the violence. I even liked rap music then. As we grew up and now getting up now, there's a lot of violence and a lot of hatred in the rap. So I'll put a little bit of that in there. But also, our kids don't have role models. So our role models for our kids now are these rappers, all these musicians who's out here doing all this. You know, my kids can, they can tell you more about Tupac and Eazy-E. They can tell me about Martin Luther King. You know, so that's who they're idolizing now. So they're following what they hear them saying and what they hear them doing. Then we got the single-parent households. You know, they say a mother can't raise a son. I don't know how true that is because my father was in my household, so I don't know. But you got that. So then you have the kids that want to be bullied. You know, there's a lot of – it's a lot. It's a lot. I think it's a little bit of everything. I don't think it's just this or just that. I think it's just society in itself today now, period. And the fact that our kids have so much more that they're dealing with, life for them isn't easy. I mean, I can't say life for us was easy, but it wasn't as hard as it is for them now. I can imagine some of the stuff they're going through now or me dealing with the stuff they're going through now. So I think it's just a little bit of everything, nothing one particular thing, but I think we need to just keep rallying around our kids, keep showing them if rap is wrong, rap is wrong. If you like rap, you like rap. But you have to realize that's just a figment of your imagination. That's not what your life has to be about. You don't have to be out here fighting to be successful. Pick up a book. You can rap, but what you going to rap about? You can talk, but what you going to talk about? So you don't have to live that kind of life, whether it's in Chicago, California, North Carolina, Ohio, wherever, because it's everywhere. Some of the worst crimes have happened in some of the better neighborhoods, so it's not just Chicago. But it's just a little bit of everything. I don't think it's just one particular thing. I think it's just everything in general, just the way life has changed now. And that's what I think is all this is about.
Right. Let me say this, and you gave a perfect – we got a new campaign for the Six Eyes Radio Network. Now, right now, I want everybody to take a couple minutes out of their schedule right now, and you're going to dial this number, okay? That number is 216-245-9657. State your name, where you're calling from, and all you're going to say is you don't have to. That's going to be the new campaign right there. I'm putting the commercial together, so everybody do that right now. And I'll be waiting because that's the perfect thing right there. Because cities
while
get bad
rap. While we doing that, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and play some music.
Damn, did he just jump me?
So we can get everybody to call in on that.
Yeah, he just jumped me.
He did.
So,
he got it. He got
he's good for that. He's good for that.
Yeah. Are we a team or what? I mean.
Yeah, we a team. We're going to get everyone to call.
Music,
we got to get everyone to call. But while everybody calls, we got
to number one
man,
more time,
that's
sir,
a good thing. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, you know, they always tell us we can talk together, we can sing together, we can't talk together. So.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So that number again. Do I need to say it slow again, or we're good?
Say it one more time.
Say it slow one more time.
In slow motion. 2-1-6-2-4-5-9-6-5-7.
Now I'm completely very intelligent, but unfortunately, whoever was repeating it, was interrupting you. So.
Okay, I'm gonna say it again. Okay, 216-245-9657.
All right.
And once again, you would like everybody to.
So what you're going to do is when you call, state your name, where you're calling from, and you don't have to. And I'm going to put together a commercial that's going to be very epic and great. And that's going to be the slogan, because a lot of people don't have to fall victim to these stereotypes. You know? So we're going to do that while ATL plays a song. We'll be right back. This is AJ and the Squad on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Once again, phone lines are open at 424-243-9617.
Hello.
I done made it through it all, took some chances just to fall, put my back against the wall, and I still feel the rain on me. I done made it through it all, took some chances just to fall, put my back against the wall, and I still feel the rain on me. This life feel high and that bitch gotta get paid. I ain't never played sports, I ain't never ran track, but if the law's coming, all I know is gotta get away. Hard times coming up, where I live, where I stay. Mama thugging for a baby just to see a better day. You weren't having much, but mama taught you cherish what we had. And don't be tripping if nobody don't care, cause it's all on you.
I made it through it all, took some chances just to fall, put my back against the wall. Just fall, put my back against the wall. Can I see you feel the rain on me?
Can I see you feel the rain? And I see you feel the rain? And I see you feel the rain on me? Boiling water just to bathe, wearing the same thing for days. Couldn't afford a purchase, still was grateful for them days. Lot of partners jump ship when the road reached the cliff. Never trip, stay down and out, he's seeing that we pay. Money don't change a thing, it just bringing plenty pain. Got a sack and it still feel like I'm standing in the rain. People flooding me with problems, I just help and don't complain. When it be me, wonder if they'll do the same.
But hey, it's all I done made it through it all, took some chips to fall. Put my back against the wall, and I still feel the rain on me.
Hey, yeah.
I done made it through it all, took some chances just to fall. Put my back against the wall, and I still feel the rain on me.
And I still feel the rain, and I still feel the rain, and I still feel the rain on me.
This is Chris Jasper of the Isley Brothers, and you're listening to 6 Eyes Radio.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by 6 Eyes Radio.
All right, we back here live on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Yes, it's your boy DJ ATL Atlanta Styles. I'm getting everybody back in. We was discussing our situation about drill music, and I know that we were still trying to say that, you know, drill music is not really, it's really the actions of the people. But I do want to say something on top of that, because I think the problem, which I think we're missing the point, I had a drill artist tell me this, is no, drill music is also associated with gangs. So that's another element that's a part of it. So you get
more of a kind of like a props when you're pushing that gang part of it. So that's where I think that's where you kind of like, I'm not saying it's the music, but now the association of a gang inside of it makes it much more dramatic. Because, see, back in the day when we were coming up, most of us were seasoned, we didn't have the pressure of a gang to say, okay, we got these numbers, we got these numbers, we got these numbers, we got these hits, we got this, we got that. So these guys are actually living the gang life. Like I said, you had a national recording artist driving a car for a drive-by, which is, I said, this got a career. You got Lil Durk, which is another one out of Chicago, affiliated with gang. And it was a killing that went on. He was there at the location with the gang. So it's kind of like a whole different scenario than we say. I'm not going to say it's music itself, but it's the complication what's inside of the music that's pushing the drill music. Anybody else want to speak on that?
All right. Well, we're back, and I want to know who all did their homework, who all did the assignment.
I did.
That's sad.
All right, everybody. So I got all y'all, right?
Yeah.
Nah, I got my phone got messed up. Wi-Fi.
Unchecked. Well, you did your assignment.
Oh, most definitely. Hey, Real. How are you?
How you doing?
Thanks for coming through.
What's up with the world? What's up with y'all? Appreciate you for inviting.
Who is that? Who is that right there?
That's Real.
Oh, this Real. Hey, what's up, bro?
DJ. Oh, what's good? What's DJ Terrell right there?
No, that's Real.
Real. I got you. I apologize.
Real, what's going on?
What's up with y'all? How y'all doing, though?
Great. Welcome.
All right.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to be here, you know what I'm saying? Y'all talk about some real shit. I like that. I really do.
Did you just curse?
My bad.
I was not given the guest list, so we, you know.
Don't worry. You're good.
May I?
Absolutely,
yeah.
You may.
Now we talking about drill music. Is it a difference? Because I don't know. Is it drill music or is it trap music?
Trap music is
you
more.
Trap music is two different things now. Drill music and trap music is two different things.
Why do you jump the lady? I'm going to have to be your bodyguard, Uncheckable.
You know, I got some of them out there that be at me. I don't know. Maybe I could crave.
Well, I think Rio wanted to, respond to that right quick.
Hold on one minute, sir. Okay, so here's how we're going to do this. Being that we're all on the same mic and we're not being able to see each other, when one person speaks, for the listeners that may have called in and that may be listening right now, when everyone speaks, say your name, and then after you're done speaking, say complete, and then it goes to the next person. But we always let the lady speak first, but they've already spoken. So, sir, you got the floor. Go ahead.
I believe trap music deals more with hustling and selling drugs, and drill music is just straight drill, kill, steal, destroy, you feel me? So, the trap music, it originated from in Atlanta, they say, with T.I. and all that. But the drill music did come from Chicago. And Chicago then rubbed off on everybody when it comes to that type of music, because every black city has a drill section now, you feel me? So, but it also depends on how you are raised also. But if you ain't got no guidance growing up, you know, the streets is your own father, you know. So whatever you see, you become that if your mind ain't strong to overcome that. You feel me? That's all I got to say about that, though.
Appreciate you, sir.
For sure.
And I think a lot of people are touching on a few things. There's the we're talking about the music, not the music. Is it the music? And I think it's like Queen was saying, and some of you have touched on it earlier. It's the subliminalism. It can become hypnotizing, like video games. You know, we had the whole thing about video games or having our children go out here and you know, kill people. Now it's the drill music. Well, whether it's, you know, whether they're seeing it on the internet, whether it's a video game, whether it's music, like I say, it's not the music, it's the content. And I'm not saying the music, I'm saying the lyrics. So when you're listening to certain lyrics, and the lyrics are kill, 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 murder, 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 rob, rape, kidnap, whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, it's not the music, it's that everyday listening to these lyrics over and over and over, you know, pushing that agenda. So that's just my take on some of that. It's a lot of subliminalism that's going into it. Like I say, when you have the wrong role models, you have these younger generations who are, you know, clearly lost, you know. So when you have them looking up to who they're looking up to and they're lost, and then, like I say, that domino effect, and it's just generation after generation after generation, and they say now they're really out here and they're really heartless. They really don't care.
Mm-hmm. Here's the Six Eyes speaking. And here's the thing about that. Now, when you compose music and when you create music, that is called a hypnotic trance, okay, because it's repetitive. So it's like with the lyric of what they're trying to get across, you know, you're absolutely right. So they push the narrative of what the song is about. And if you hear that enough in a song, kill in a song, okay, that's all you're going to remember. So with that, you're absolutely right. And also with video games, again, video games causes a lot because it's going on, you know, when you're playing a video game, you kind of get in a trance playing a video game. But The difference is reality versus a video game.
Right.
The kids cannot separate a fictional game from reality. Okay, mm-hmm. They see a gun in the video game, and then somebody come home, a non-responsible parent, leave their gun right on the table. Little Junior goes pick it up, and bam, all he knows is the video game on the gun. He doesn't know that there's bullets in there that can hurt. They don't know that. So, you know, for the gun owners, you have to be responsible. This is not the episode, and funny enough, it just came on today on Good Times. It's one of my favorite shows. We'll talk about that at a later date. But that's one of my favorite shows, when James Evans had the gun inside the shoebox. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 70s, you could do that. But for the 70s in the Evans household, that was like having a lockbox. You know, right. the Evans was poor growing up. So for them to have a shoebox to put the gun in, that was like their little lockbox, okay? But you can't do that today. You have to have an actual lockbox to secure your firearm. Can't stuff it under a mattress. You can't stuff it in a corner, because kids are curious and they're going to find it. And, again, they're playing the video game, so they don't know that gun can actually hurt and kill you. They don't know. And that's the innocence of a child, and you can't blame that child. So the parents have to be responsible with the firearms to have them up, secure, and out of children's reach. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only thing that's going to save these kids. As far as the music goes, I mean, yeah, but you can't totally blame it on the music. But like I said, with the hypnotic trance of music, you know, when you compose, you know, it can get to you in that way. But we're not going to just put it on the music. I mean, the parents have to be parents and educate the kids on the music. You know, it needs to be a workshop to break down the types of music. You understand what I'm saying? The do's and don'ts. The do is to enjoy the music. The don't is not
Absolutely.
To go out and do something crazy. So if we have to facilitate that, we will. That's the only way you're going to get around it. This is Six Eyes, and I'm complete.
May I?
Absolutely.
You may.
Hello, this is Queen from North Carolina. I want to say also, too, that I believe that social media plays a big part in this also. And I say that because here in my city, we don't have a lot of gang violence, but we do have an unnecessary amount of youth shootings and killings. However, every time one of them gets killed, they always want to say gang-related. Well, I'll be the first one. I've been here for 55 years, and there's no gangs in this little city. Because a group of little boys wear the same color T-shirt doesn't make them a gang. because a group of boys all hanging the same on the same street corner doesn't make them a gang. So our news always wants to say, oh, we think it's gang-related. Now, if these same little boys try to go to Chicago, New York, Florida, and try to do some of the stuff that they're doing now, they're going to get blown up, period, point blank. So the little stuff that's going on here, it's just made it so big because of our news and our social media. There's no gangs here. I'd be the first one to say there's no gangs here. There are some shootings. There are some killings. There is some unnecessary behavior, but there's no gangs here. But because the news wants to up it up, oh, he was gang-related, or he had association with gangs, we still letting the news put this in our heads that our kids are in gangs, that our kids are doing this, our kids are doing that. We've got to know our kids better than the news think they know our kids.
Right.
We can't let the
news.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So here's the thing. And I'm – okay, police. We all got police in our cities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In Ohio, we got police everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina, Chicago, we got police. And everybody else, I don't know where everybody else is from. But what really helped the situation – that if they had a fun day, if they had a neighborhood cop fun day,
mm-hmm.
okay, where the cop comes out, meet the neighborhood, okay,
mm-hmm.
have like water balloon fights, you know, different fun activities where the neighborhood
right.
can get to know the cop.
Right.
And instead of pulling your mother over or for a dispute or a fight or anything like that, something for bad, if that's the only time you see a cop, okay, kids are already scared because
right.
they're going by what they see on TV. They're going by all the unnecessary George Floyd situations. They're going back to the Rodney King situations. All this stuff is documented on the Internet. And when you and I grew up and we used to have career day, the police used to come up to the school.
Mm-hmm.
You could sit in the police car. You could play with the siren. You could sit in the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had the mounted horse. All they said, don't stand behind the horse. That's all they told you. But you could pet that horse all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we grew up, they said the police was your pal, P-A-L. If you see a man or woman in blue, you can run up to him or her if you had trouble. But now with all the craziness that's happening, you know, this is why a lot of situations end up turning bad. Because when the kids see the police, all they see is the bad and the negativity that puts a bad light on the good cops. You know, so it goes back to that couple of apples in the bunch is ruining it for the good cops that are out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe if there's a fun day, meet cop neighborhood day, you know, where you get to know the cop, you know, run around, play, you know, and get to know the cop, throw the football around, dribble the basketball, you know, if you do that, I think that would help a lot. Because that would help. That would help break down the tension within the neighborhoods. And like you said, if the little boys got on green T-shirts or blue T-shirts, they're not a gang. That's just something, you know. It's a little club, but it's not a gang.
Mm-hmm.
They're not out fighting and hurting each other. If you bring back the arts, because everybody's not meant to dribble a basketball or football. Hell, I went out for the basketball.
Right.
Came out of,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, but I wasn't meant to dribble a basketball, you know. So if we bring the arts back, because it's a lot of talented people, but they won't be able to experience the arts because the schools don't have the funding for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Boys and Girls Clubs, if they do, they're not allocating the money toward that. So you have a lot of money that can be used toward these arts, and all these kids need is a chance and something to do, and that would curb this little violence that they get into.
Mm-hmm.
I'm complete. But I think that would be great if it happened. What say you?
All right. It's your boy DJ ATL Lansdowne. I think another caller want to speak on 2751-404-2751. Go ahead and let you in, and that is complete. Go ahead and speak.
Hey, ATL. This is Emily, dear. Just want to tell you, I got to agree with Six. If they would take and not see our first responders, especially our police officers, as bad people, and as the people that go out and beat up people and sit there and just show all the bad things about our police department, no matter what city we're in. If they would sit there and also show the good when the, like when 9/11 happened and they showed all those police officers that went to go help. If they would show more of that and not just the violence, I think these young people wouldn't be so afraid to approach any of our police if they're having an issue. Because the more they see on the news all this bad stuff about the police, they would, I don't think any of our young people would get out there acting crazy, doing stuff just to see if the police are going to react in a negative way toward them. Because I myself, even as a young person, I always saw the good in the police. I was taught not just to think of them in the bad things I was seeing on TV or even hearing on the radio. Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And ATL, was that Brother Six I heard out there?
I said this is solution. And I think the problem, and this is the major problem of everything, and even the lady that hit on this, and her city doesn't have gang. I'm going to say this. This is DJ TLS style. If we would do this and get these police officers out there to back into the community where they actually meet the parents, doing functions and stuff, where the children can see the cop and see the police and the mother, even if it's a single mother or a single father, they can see the police and get a chance to know names. It'll put pressure on the young person not to do things, do wild things, because now they know that they know their household, they know a parent. And I think that could curb a lot of it. But we also got to put in attention that the media also is one of the major enemies to the people, because I look at it now as the enemy, because what they do is they're just trying to find a negative story. And they don't care whether it's a positive, whether it's going to hurt you or not. They're trying to sell listeners and get people to listen to them. And most of the time, I hate to say this, but most of us want to see negativity on the news. We don't want to see positivity. I don't know why, but that seems like we're more creative towards the negativity, seeing what, and we're suspecting that to be what the news is. So I feel what Six Eyes said, what you just said, and when I was young, regardless, I was taught, even though I felt that maybe the cops were bad, or big, I still had to respect them because they had a job to do, and I needed them in case something bad had happened to me. If I got robbed, I still have to call the police. If something happened to me, I still have to call, deal with the police officer. I can't say not to call them. So even at this point right now, how negative the whole police situation is, we still have to call them and deal with them. So I feel that where we need to step as far as people or communities is we need to get behind the police people and try to get these bad cops that are doing bad out of there, but we need to know who these officers are and what they are, and they need to know who we are and also know our children so we know that we're in good hands. And I agree. I think this needs to go across the board of all kids. That's my take on that. But I'm going to go ahead and complete and let someone else speak on it.
May I?
Absolutely.
This is the Godfather calling in from Birmingham, Alabama.
Hey, Godfather.
Hey, sweetheart, how you doing? Okay. Now, I have had some experience with policemen that was not really comfortable. There was time I had to get off into the Caucasian neighborhood to walk over to work, and I was stopped each and every day, wanting to know where you're going. And it was nothing but complete harassment. Sooner or later, the people on my job got tired of them putting me in the car and bringing me to work. And as soon as they made that phone call to them not to stop me anymore, guess what? It stopped. And you know why they did it to me? Because I was black. And they did not want me into their neighborhood. And that's what happened. There's several people that has been stopped coming through their area and pulled over simply because they were black. So that's why a lot of people have this type of feeling about policing. Complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
DJ ATL, I have a question for the gentleman that just spoke. Do you feel, in your way, because you're more experienced, you've been around a lot longer, and you know this, do you feel that police officers do help you in the community, in your community, more, or do you feel that they're more of a logical, unexplained situation in your community? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Well, I think they can be helpful, but I have also experienced that when you do call them, not all of them, they put you in default. And you're talked to in such a way that you don't want to call the police. Now, if there is a Caucasian, it's completely different. They treat them better. Not all police, but the experience I've had with some and what I have seen on the news, it is enough to make me gurgitate.
This is something I do want to say, and I think that I'm glad you spoke on this, because this is something that does still need to come up. We still do need to have town hall meetings. We still need to have these kind of discussions are still on the race. We keep running around the same color and everything, and we still keep playing around with it and looking at it, but we still enough to have an issue with the color of someone's skin. And I think that it should not be different at this time. It should not be that point. Just because someone is going to your neighborhood that doesn't look completely like them, a different shade, doesn't make them an evil individual. And I think it goes both ways. I really feel that in our country, we need to figure out how to talk about this to people openly, because there's a lot of more problems we're having with children trafficking. I know that's another problem. We're having now a huge situation with what we call, I'm going to say the LGBT community, they're going through some things too, and there's some who ain't going through some things, and I do want to put this all in the mailbox that there needs to be conversations and they need to be talked about, and we need to discuss and figure out solutions how to come together as people. We're 70 years removed from Martin Luther King's speech on Washington about race, about judging people by the characters, not the color of their skin, and we're still hearing these things today. And you have a gentleman right now who is a grandpa who's still saying he's seeing this and going through this. That is not right. And in Birmingham, Alabama, which was one of the most several points, Selma, Alabama, was one of the several parts to actually get people of color, because this goes for everyone of color, a chance to have a sense of being treated as a man and not as three-fifths of a person. So if
well,
I'm
you
talking
know, this
to this, I'm not talking just about black, I'm talking about Spanish, I'm talking about anybody who was not European was three-fifths of a man in America before then. So we're sitting here, and I'm like I said again, we're hearing a grandpa, who's still saying he's seeing this and going on. So I cannot take over his logic of what he's saying, because this is what he's going through. He's not making this up. He doesn't have no points to tell us this is still going on. But I definitely want to pass the ball to complete it. But I want to pass it to Six Eyes, because I definitely want to hear what you're saying from what he just said.
Yeah, so, you know, the unfortunate part now, this is a grandfather who fought for us to have the liberties that we have. And he's still struggling, you know, even today in 2022. So it just goes to show you that they pacify us a lot, but they never have any intentions on smoothing out that rug. It's always something under that rug that's going to be lumpy, you know. And they give us just enough area to where, oh, well, If they don't walk, they're not going to walk that far. It's not that. It's smooth right here. It's smooth. But they don't think we're going to walk so far to where we get those lumps. And that's the problem. It's unfortunate that it still happens like this, but what would the solution be? This stuff should not still be going on in 2022. You know, the only thing that made us, the only thing that showed us even on the same playing field is this pandemic. This pandemic didn't care about your economics. They didn't care about your skin color. They didn't care about your social background, where you're from. They didn't care about none of that. Everybody suffered. Everybody was on the same playing field. That's the only thing that came out of this pandemic.
Right.
Okay? You take that pandemic away, and we weren't even considered, you know. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that we're still going through this. But, okay, somebody's moving around. I don't know if they got an earpiece on. But I have very good ears. but it's just, like I said, we got to come up with solutions, you know. And all it takes is one. So if it starts with us, you know, maybe we can, you know, we're definitely changing the world right now. But we're going to have to come up with some solutions of strategies that we can do. Because the good part about it, you found out that every race is not bad. You did find that out. But you had to have the conversation. We had to break down the stereotypes and preconceived thoughts about each race. And one thing you found out after we had the conversation, you found out that there's a lot of similarities. Okay? Mm. So that's the good thing that came out of it. All people aren't bad. But you have to have the conversation to know that.
Right.
You know, but I just hope it continues because it's kind of like having an undercooked turkey, and nobody wants to eat anything undercooked. So we have to cook these thoughts and ideas to its fullest potential and carry it out. You know, if we're gonna eat, let's eat. If we're just gonna sit and look at the food, no need to even put it on the plate. You know,
right.
So that's what we have to do, and it's a success, and I'm complete.
This AJ. From Cleveland. But listen, I just want to touch on a few things. Definitely listening to Godfather, that was very inspirational. Like you said, Six, back in the days, I was a part of that culture where we embraced the police. We weren't scared of the police. The police were our friends. Our police rode around our communities and knew all the kids by name, knew the parents, came to the school. We had career days. We played with the sirens and all that good stuff, too. Like I say, over the years, it's like I say, it's about the agendas. Everybody knows I'm somewhat of a conspiracy theorist or whatever the case may be. And so everybody would say, well, what do we do now? And you go back to what it was then. And like you said, we need to take it back to then and initiate some of these programs in the school, in the streets, have the career days, have a day where we can start getting the children to understand that, like, all police are not bad. I had a bad experience not too long ago around the time of Ferguson where I had an issue with a security guard in my building, and he just wanted to abuse his authority, but I'm not the type of individual, you know, you're a man, I'm a man. You're just not going to talk to me anyway. You're not going to just, you know, disrespect me any kind of a way. So the situation, like, he was literally following me around on cameras. He was doing all kind of things. He was trying to write me up. He was trying to get me kicked out of where I lived. And it came a situation one night where he was talking real crazy, and I was talking to one of my neighbors, and I was expressing to her how I felt about him, and, you know, we have to live here, and he's only part-time and this and that and whatever the case may be. And there was a situation where I was talking about, you know, he thinks, you know, he's bad because, you know, he's got a gun, and he's got this uniform, and he can do what he wants to, and whatever the case may be. So me and him had a verbal discrepancy. He called the police on me. And these two police officers knock on my door, say, hey, the security guard says, you know, that you threatened to shoot him. I said, well, I didn't say it. I didn't say that. He's like, well, he said that you have a bullet with his name on it. I said, well, I didn't say that. And I said, well, matter of fact, officers, we can go downstairs and I can take you to my neighbor, to the witness who heard everything, and she'll tell you what I said. And they said, okay. I had flip-flops on.
I had a pair of sweatpants on, a T-shirt, right? So we walk out my front door, right, thinking that we're going to talk to my witness. Keep in mind, my TV was on, the lights was on, my doors and windows, my windows was open. When we got downstairs, instead of going to the left to where my witness was, they walked me straight out to the police car and put me in handcuffs. I spent 39 hours in jail.
And you ain't going to shoot nobody in no flip-flops. You're not shooting nobody in flip-flops. You're not doing it.
Well, it's just the point of what Godfather said, because it sparked a conversation.
Yeah.
Because I understand what it means. Because, I they tricked me out of my house. They made it seem like, okay, well, yeah, let's go listen to your witness, when their plans were all along to go and put me in handcuffs and put me in a car. And then they literally held me in jail for 39 hours. I was never charged. I never nothing. I never went and saw. And only because of the support group, I had to say, listen, at the time, I know this was around the time, like I said, Ferguson. But at the time, I was going through diabetes. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have my medicine. Like I said, I'm legally blind. I went through a whole situation so I can understand what Godfather is saying. But to this day, I don't hate all the police. I'm not angry at the police. But I understand that the agendas nowadays want to make it seem like there's the majority of police officers are not responsible, not good. Like I said, you know, you took an oath to protect and serve.
Right.
And I don't feel protected, and I don't feel like you're serving me. I don't do that. So it's just crazy what's going on, depending upon who you are and your relationships with the police. But like you said, we need to take it back so that we can have an understanding, a rapport, some type of relationship with the police in the community, where you don't have to see the news where they're being set up to be shot, to be taken out, all kind of things like that. Because like I said, that's what's being glorified on the news, like the video games or the lyrics in the music. Same thing with TV. If we're sitting there watching TV and we're seeing all these, you know, newscasters talking about, oh, this police got shot, this police, well, the people want to go out and do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, yeah, that's all I want to share with you when I'm complete.
Yeah, but you got, any other queens want to speak?
May I, please?
You may.
Thank you.
On down.
this is the queen again. I want to say also too that we have to teach our kids, and unfortunately we know that there are good and bad cops. We can't pinpoint who's what, so we have to teach our kids to treat them all the same way. You know, when you get pulled over or you get stopped or whatever, don't try that like you hardcore. Don't try that like you this. We just want you to make it home safely. You know, do what they tell you to, and even if it's not right, even if you feel like it's wrong, even if you feel like you've been wronged, then it's okay. Just if they say put your hands up, put your hands up. You know, they can say get out the car, get out the car. Don't try to underestimate what that police is thinking or what they're doing, because we want you to make it home. Once you get home, we'll discuss what happened. But don't try to figure out if it's a good, bad cop situation, because the first move you make, you're going to be shot. We'd rather you be quiet and make it home than we try to plan your funeral. You know, but unfortunately, we got a lot of young men and women that try to get this, oh, I'm bad, I'm this, I'm that, you can't do this. You just let them do it. All we want you to do is make it home. We want you to be safe. When you get home, you can be mad as hell if you want to be, and we'll talk about it then. But we want you to make it home. So, you know, I know it's hard. I know it gets tough. But when that police car pulls you over and he tells you to do what you got to do, just do what you got to do to make it back home, because we just want you home. And I'm complete.
Right. Right. And that's good that you say that. But see, here's the thing. Now, they say cops are supposed to lead by example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they are the ones that protect and serve us, now I'm going to go back, and I want everybody to participate in this. Okay, so let's go back to Sandra Bland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sandra Bland was a 28-year-old girl going to a new job to start a new life for a new position that she got.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of her driving to her new life and a new city, her air conditioner went out. She got a little bit frustrated. And she was pulled over for doing an illegal lane change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that was an infraction that she did, illegal lane change. Okay, that would have been like a point on her license, maybe a ticket. Okay, but follow when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
When that cop pulled that girl over, that young lady over,
that cop set the tone for how that situation all played out. Mm-hmm. Do you all agree or disagree?
Agree.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, I agree.
I've got to definitely agree, because if that young lady would have just admitted her wrong and not, maybe not have copped an attitude with the officer, maybe it wouldn't have turned out that way.
Let me stop you. Now, the cop set that tone. The cop came to her car talking nasty, cussing at her. He set the tone for how that whole situation played out.
Yeah.
It was the cop. The one that's supposed to have been in authority, the one that we're supposed to lead by example. Okay? So that cop set that tone.
Yeah, and well, she could have turned it around by staying calm and not copping, maybe not copping one back.
Perhaps. But still,
you're already agitated. My bad.
Yeah, she never got to the job. She's dead right now. So she's still.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And here's the thing that came out when you showed the picture, they had her lying on the floor, dead, saying that was her mugshot.
Mm.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Now, that's sick.
Yeah. So, that right there, that whole situation could have been avoided. And like Queen said, if you get pulled over by the cops, have your registration, have your license over the dashboard.
Exactly.
In the visor above or in the center console. Let the cop get it. Don't you even reach for it. Let the cop get it. Let the cop turn the car off. You put your hands outside those windows. That way you won't even give them a reason.
All right. It's your boy, DJ ATL Atlanta Styles, coming in again. We got another caller who wants to come in. 3047.
Dude, what the hell are you giving out the whole number for?
What's going on? I ain't give out the whole number. 850-3047.
Amen.
All right, come on in.
Amen. Good afternoon, praise the Lord. This is Miss Sheila from Tallahassee, Florida, coming in and waving a hand.
Good evening, Evangelist Clayton. Welcome to the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
Thank you so much, very much for having me. Amen. Godfather, I'm on the ship with you. I'm on the ship of Zion with Godfather. Hey, Godfather, good afternoon to you as well.
Good afternoon, sweetheart.
You know, I'm a true witness to tell you what it's like back in 1954 to tell you that segregation.
Ma'am, excuse me for 1 minute, please. Mm-hmm. If you're not talking, please put your mic on mute so the young lady can speak. There's a lot of unnecessary moving around. Put yourselves on mute, please. Thank you.
Somebody's phone number or something?
No. Somebody needs to put their cell phone on mute.
They might have put their phone down. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, if you... Because I want her to be heard. I don't want her to be having to speak over unnecessary noise. So if you're not talking, put yourself on mute until the young lady's done speaking. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. You know,
yes,
as
ma'am.
I was saying, I totally agree with Godfather. You know, I can truly tell you today, coming up in 1950, coming up in the 50s, in the segregated days, we dealt with racism. Racism still lives on in our community, in every community. I reside in the state of Florida. I'm in Tallahassee, Florida. And I can tell you right now today that we have multiple stabs that have taken place in Tallahassee in the last week. And I tell you, there's so much is going on. And racism still lives on, but we play against ourselves because we let the controller control substance, devices. You know, and it's a seed that's planted by the enemy because he know how to come and steal, kill, and to destroy. You know, and if he can get the young minds of our kids are today, and you can see it happening in our schools here in Tallahassee, Leon County Schools, Lincoln High School, Florida State University, so much raping and murders and stabbing that is taking place in our community is because a lot of times they're ducks. We as adults, and we're talking about police as well to being fair in the community. I remember those days where we could sit in the car and pull the thing and make the siren go off and just enjoy, amen, the influence of our officers now. But I can also tell you that right here in Tallahassee, my first cousin was shot twice in the head by one of our police officers here in Tallahassee, which now is our captain over one of the departments here in Tallahassee, but because of who he was and because of who my cousin was, amen, young black, amen, and street down, reaving his motor in his car, and the cops said that he tried to hit him. The cops shot him twice in his head. I can tell you that a security guard, off-duty officer, gunned down my first cousin in the Magic Mart store, said that he came in to rob. So we're dealing with so many racism, so many hurts, and so many pain all over the place. But we, too, can play a significant part. We, too, can play a significant part. Even racism was then. Racism is now. But guess what? We play against each other. We play on each other. Instead of coming together, we fight against each other. We retaliate on ourselves because they cheat them with drugs. They cheat them with the different methods of antidote pills that they got out now that's battling against the minds of our young as well to take full control. Then they have these challenges game that they get out of their automobiles, get out of their car, and do a challenge. They have that social media night so widespread. And then we, too, we put computers, laptops, whatever the other little things that the kids have, that the parents shove in their hands, computer, that they own the device. If it's weekend, they own it all day long. It got to start with us. We got to stop. We got to delete some of those things that we think that we need. We was blessed. Amen. God gave us common sense. And we have stopped using what God has given us because we caught up now in the fear of police officers. We caught up in the fear of man now because of what man said. God has given us power as well, too. But because we dropped the ball a long time ago, we gave too much power because we felt like we needed to be in control by somebody else. And it's going on today. You know, I'm with you, Godfather. I'm right in the seat with Godfather. I've been around a long time, but I'm still here because of his grace and his mercy. But it got to start with us. We can talk a lot of talk, but we got to walk the talk and show enough, put out what we're putting out because that's going to make a difference. That's going to make a difference. If we don't do something, we lose them young and old as well. But if we don't do something to turn it around and we know that we got something that we can bring to the table, bring it to the table so we can help one another. We can help somebody else choose and our children can help. It's like a circle, a merry-go-round. You hold my hand, I hold your hand, you hold the next individual, the next individual, the next individual until it's a chain link. And that's the only way that we're going to break this thing. And we got to come together. We got to stop saying it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And it's okay to say no. I remember we couldn't say no. I remember we couldn't eat. We couldn't go in the store. I remember we couldn't drink from the fountain. I remember when the Caucasian man told my mom and dad to whoop us, you know, and they abided by what they said. Came a long way from the cotton field to the tobacco field. And we're still here, Godfather. We're still here. We're still here. So the change has to start with us. Let's just don't talk about it, but let's be about it. Let's make it happen that we can do something. If you can turn one around, you have done a success. thank you all for the time. Amen.
Amen, Queen. Amen, Queen. Thank you for that. And everybody sitting here need to sit at their feet, the Queen and King's feet. Sit at their feet and learn.
That's right.
And take a page from what they've been through. Now, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, we are about change. I want you all to go to your podcast portion on your phone, on your smartphones. And in the search, I want you to type in S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. That is Six Eyes, space, just space, not spelling it out, but space, then radio, R-A-D-I-O, and press subscribe. And that way you will have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand, and you'll have this show every Saturday. You'll get a notification. If you're busy, you'll be reminded to tune in. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617.
All right, all right. Yes. It's your boy, DJ ATL and South. I got to say something again on this. Just as the Queen and the elders and all you gentlemen and ladies that formed your queens, all y'all kings and queens on this. I think y'all hit on something earlier, and I started to really have a huge process in thinking about this. As a young person coming up, and as an older person now in this world, me coming into my 40s, late 40s.
Yeah.
Dealing with police officers, dealing with people is a challenge. And now you guys deal with officers. Y'all hit a great thing when y'all said this gentleman was out of control when he met, came in contact with the young lady. I remember the story. Came in contact and he was cussing. And I think I said something very, very, very important on
that. Where you said that you're now the person being pulled over from a person who's an officer, who's more or less might be considered out of control, might having a bad day, and his day is just running over in your day. You didn't do anything wrong. You might have been pulled over. You got your license and registration. And the first thing you do is you do what your duties is you hand over your ID and you get. And he says something very tolerant. He says something to push your buttons to make you do something that you shouldn't be doing. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to do devil's advocate this. I don't think nobody should ever have to go through that. I think that that's not a good thing because I'm going to say this. Not everybody is a people person. Not everybody can communicate well with people. Matter of fact, not everybody can communicate.
Excuse me for one moment.
Percentage of us
excuse me for one
communicate.
Moment.
Go.
Excuse me for one moment.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if someone has a TV in the background. Please mute your mic. Thank you.
I'm saying this is very, because I think this is something that America, I don't know, we're in school systems, and I know from my era coming up, I had to learn everything from my home to communicate, and I had to go through things to learn how to really communicate with people the way you need to communicate people. And not everybody gets that opportunity to learn how to communicate with everyone. That is a challenge in itself because I think that that's something that I think as far as young people in schools, I think this is where the problem is being created because you're going to school and you're going to all these things and it's not things that they're teaching you real life situations. And this here is a life situation and I'm saying you get pulled over by a cop that's probably out of control. Something's wrong with him. He can have a mental breakdown. He can be doing anything. Now you're in the situation. You're not good to communicate. You say the wrong thing. Here we go. We're pulling at each other. Life is lost. There was a story that was told to me, and I don't know if it was you guys here in Atlanta. There was a young lady who tried to intervene on someone. And what it was, I think it was you, Six Eyes. I don't know if it was you, but you told me what happened was the lady – the guy had caused an accident. So the guy still was driving or whatever, et cetera, and she rode up about a couple miles and she exited and she tried to pull over. No, it wasn't you, Six Eyes, now I remember. She tried to pull over the guy and she finally pulled over the guy because she was trying to catch this guy because he caused an accident. It was an older guy and they got into it also and she had a gun and the gun went off and she killed the guy. They come out to find out that they did recall this guy had some kind of seizure, too, at the same time. He was having a seizure when he had the accident. So this is why I'm why I went to that story, because I'm going back to something that where I think officers and people should not be put in, officers exactly shouldn't put a person in a position to have a job that's going to put people in a position to have to try to also protect themselves from them when they're being pulled over for something that might not even be federally, because this person is having a bad day. I'm trying to paint a narrative. What you guys think about this? Because I even want my man to answer that 0592-404-0592. I definitely want to bring him back into the conversation on that one, because I think that is something, and that doesn't have to be a base of color, skin. This can go completely across the board when you have an officer at a point where it could be having a nervous breakdown, could be doing anything, and your life, and you've been pulled over by this guy, your life is in danger. Because I don't know if you can communicate with this guy to even get him out of the context that he's in. He might end up just pulling out a gun and killing you at the moment. I'm just giving y'all a narrative, because I want y'all to really look at this. And I also want my older elders to also ask me about this, because these things probably was going on in the 50s and the 60s too, because we were having a lot of that stuff going on. I'm complete. I'm gonna pass the ball to you guys.
May I?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. This is the queen. In that case, DJ, there's really not a whole lot you can do. You don't know what's going on in somebody else's head. You don't know what's going on in somebody else's life, somebody else's mind. So when you're pulled over by that particular cop and he is having a bad day and he is psychologically imbalanced somewhere along the way, that's not anything that you know. So all you can do is all you can do. You know, praying always helps. But at that point, you know, you can't just, he's not going to walk up on you and say, ask you for your license and registration. And you can't say, oh, are you off your medicine today? You know, so, you know, you don't know. You have to act accordingly. And with that being said, we have to treat everybody the same way. We have to treat every cop like it's going to be a bad cop. We have to treat every road rage case like it's going to be a road rage case. We can't pick and choose, because we don't know. And we want to see the good in people, and we want to see the understanding in people. But unfortunately, we don't know these things. So when you are pulled over by that cop, be it the good cop that's going to let you go or be it the bad cop that's going to try to take you out, you still have to conduct yourself accordingly. That's sad, and it's unfair to you. But at the same time, again, you want to make it home. You want to make it back to your loved ones. So pray, do what you're supposed to do, and I guess you can just hope for the best. And I'm complete. Thank you.
I would just like to say real quick this, AJ, to go along with what everybody's saying, everybody's making good, valid points, but why should I have to be responsible for what that police officer is going through? Like Six said, like a lot of people said, if I'm having a bad day, I'm human. I'm going to have a bad day. We understand the police officer is going to have a bad day. But what about their psychiatric training? What about their psyche vows? You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to give accountability. Like, there's got to be, like, what's going on in the police academies? What's going on in the classroom where they're not giving them training on how to deal with people? You know what I'm saying? Okay, we're all having a bad day. Okay, so when you pull up, there's a procedure, right? And you should not be escalating a situation. You should be de-escalating the situation. So it doesn't matter if I'm having a bad day or whatever I'm going through. You're supposed to have police training. You're supposed to have been, you know, given the education to be able to deal with me and diffuse the situation instead of escalating the situation. So, like I said, I'm listening to everybody. I'm hearing what everybody's saying. And I just hear a lot of, you know, yeah, racism. It's all kind of things. But, you know, at the end of the day, I shouldn't have to be responsible because a police officer is having a bad day, or he's mentally depressed, or he's going through whatever he's going through, and he says, oh, you know what, let me just go out here, and because I have a gun and a badge, and 99.99% of the time I get away with whatever it is I want to do.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
So that's just something I wanted to put out there, and I'm complete.
This is
JTLS. I came back. I'm glad you said that. This is where I was going, guys. I don't think we should be responsible, because I think if we're already breaking the crime or doing something wrong,
and then we already or might not be doing nothing wrong. Now we have to put ourselves in a bad position to try to now resolve a situation with someone who thinks we're doing, we might not be doing, but he's having a bad day, and he's putting it off on it. Because I feel that this is probably what is really going on with a lot of the situations and these killings that are going across the board with people of America. See, this is no color-based thing. This is across the board. And I think that people are not taught that in school. They're not even taught that in life standings to how to really do a situation to help someone in that kind of situation. Not everyone has that. A lot of people have their own problems. They can't even help their own problems. So I think that that's something that these academies and this system and the police system need to try to figure out how to fix their individuals. And if they're going to hire people and put people in positions that they know that's not stable, don't put them out there. Don't put them out there. If you know they're not stable, don't put them out there. Don't do that.
I agree on that.
And I think from what I'm getting at, listening to some of the officers, as I've heard over the years, saying things about bad cops and cops doing stupid stuff, they say, you know what, this is how this person is. They just let them out because they don't have anybody else out there. So I feel that that's a double sword that's coming from the system. But I'm going to let that other person talk. I'm complete.
I think Two Piece wanted to say something. Go ahead. Two Piece wanted to say something. He had got cut off, but he couldn't be heard. So, but
go ahead, Two Piece. You got the floor.
Yeah, I was listening to everybody, you know, when they was talking about giving their examples and stuff. And one thing that I know that I experienced by working along with law enforcement through my organization, everyone goes through the academy, okay. When they go through the academy, they're evaluated by having police officers, even my wife who recently passed last year, and sit down talking with her about what they go through with the academy. Every officer, before they come into work to sign in for their shift, they are evaluated. Some get skipped past. And at any point, you know your mindset while you're driving or walking or wherever you may be, but you will never know that mindset of an officer. The officer can appear at any time to be stable, and it could be something that they woke up to or something that may trigger a flashback or something else. So you can't say that you're going to be responsible for that officer mindset or know how that officer is going to act when he pulls you over. One of the safest things that when we take the officers and go in different communities and we speak to the youth as well as adults is that they tell us what to do and what not to do when being pulled over. Some of the situations you set yourself up because some people are already doing wrong in the car in the first place, drinking or smoking or whatever. Okay, when you get pulled over, one advice that you have is if you don't feel safe where you're being pulled over at, you can dial 911, give your name, the type of car that you have, and the location. Turn your flashers on, and when you feel safe, especially like in a dark area, you got the right to drive till you find a well-lit area to pull over. And even when that officer gets out the car, your hands need to remain on the steering wheel at all times where they can see. Don't be doing all this movement, trying to find this and find that. And one of the safest things is, like Queen said, to have your ID on your dashboard or, you know, up there where it's all together, your ID and license registration all together. You can do that you can get an actual ID where you can keep your driver's license in your pocket. Because both of them going to have the same number. Your ID as well as your driver's license going to have the same exact number. Okay, keep that together. And wait till the officer asks for that. Don't try to get it out and have it and hand it to them, roll your window down. You know, let them come up to the car. Let them do their observation where they're looking around. Don't do no sudden movements. Keep eyes straight forward. You got a right to ask them what you've been pulled over for. Like, for example, me, I experienced this one time. I got pulled over. The officer came, she asked me, you know, license registration. I had it right there on the dashboard and stuff. I took it off the dashboard. One arm, always keep. Don't take both arms to move. Keep that one hand. Let them know I'm reaching for, if it's in the glove compartment, say I'm reaching for it. But if you know you got a concealed weapon in your glove compartment, It's cut off right there and there. I got a concealed weapon. It's in my glove compartment, which I stayed up. At that time, she asked you to keep your hands on. She's going to call for a backup because they know a concealed weapon is there. But when you saw that moving around, you want to grab and try to hide this. And you see your hand going for that gun, immediately their reaction is to unstrap and aim a gun at you. And they're going to instruct you to stop. But, you know, sometimes with the things that you see on TV, like one of the things called like cops, they see stuff like that. They want to try to react and duplicate that and want to say, well, they did this. I want to try to do better and do this and do that. You know, it's all about what you're doing that you can trigger the officer to do something. Some officers are bad. They're going to ride behind you and wait for you to do something because they want to pull you over anyway. Because they're looking at what type of car you drive and go like, oh, what this type of person doing driving this type of car. Or they want to look at what neighborhood you're going in. Like for South Carolina, certain neighborhoods you go in, more of the white community, cops are there in full force.
Mm-hmm.
Going to some of the black community areas, you might see one cop, and that one cop ain't going to move. He'll see something being done. He ain't going to move. He ain't going to do nothing till more cops get there. Or like you say, you see a lot of times y'all go in different states, and you see in different areas, you see a group of kids walking around together just having fun. And they got on the same, because someone like the same color. They want to say, oh, that's a little gang right there. And that cop will get behind those set of black kids and right behind them. And then you got a set of white kids, they won't even bother. So it's more like racial profiling a lot is involved. They're looking at the youth as if they just a broken student that's going to be bad. You know, it's a whole lot of things that goes on in different mindsets. So one of the things we got is a group that we just take the law enforcement, go to churches and get involved. You know, how you say it takes a community to raise a child? It takes a whole village to raise. You know, back in the day, when we was growing up, we had it. You know, even I did wrong, but after I did wrong, you know, the church got together, the pastor got together, say, this community needs to raise. So the community provide and get involved. When they see a child doing wrong, they report it to the parents. You know, you get home sometimes, you're like, but dog, how my mama know about this already? Your mama waiting on you because you know you done did wrong. And then you got to talk to that person. They pull one child aside. They go and help each other as neighbors, being friendly neighbors. You know, you get together as a community. That's what we do now in my community. We get together. We have cookouts. You know, we fellowship with the youth. We bring the police officer in, let them talk with them. You know, if you see this going on, see that going on. You know, they got a lot of neighborhood crime watch that's going on. You got to restore. One thing we're working on in South Carolina is restoring Boys and Girls Club. That's something that we started down here with Vincent Hall, who's now Pastor Hall, bringing Boys and Girls Clubs back in full effect, where they got somebody that comes out positive, getting something to do. There's a lot of lack of things to do within a community for a lot of youth now. There's nothing to do. They bored. They have nothing to do, so they turn to the TV. They turn to what they see adults doing. And like I said, you got to have more positive role models. Sometimes, you know, our kids, they get out there at young age, at 4 and 5 years old. You see 4 or 5 years old walking, you know, 3 miles from a neighborhood, going to the stores by themselves. And as a young child, you know, they absorb things. You know, I watch it with my own son. What he sees is like monkey see, monkey do. What he see going on, if there's nobody there to help that mindset and change that mindset and really persuade and guide them in the right way, they're going to see what they see, and they're going to take the effect of what they see. But that parent ain't involved in that mindset of their own children. You know, we got it bad, you know, here in South Carolina. I can't spell other stuff. I'm going to stop off South Carolina, what I go through in schools and stuff like that. You got it where the students telling the parents what to do. You know, I've been in an incident where a student told her mama, sit down. What you going to do about it? The parents sit down, and then you look like, well, how are you supposed to correct that? It takes more of the community to get involved in what they're seeing, what they're doing. If you make presence known, you know, if your cops are not present in your neighborhood like they should be, call that sheriff department and say, why cops are not patrolling my area? Or you have to go to the governor's office or your local mayor office, and you have to complain about it and keep on complaining groups, not just a single person. You know, one person speaks. But when you got a whole community that's speaking loudly against things that are going wrong in your community, when cops are doing wrong or they're doing right or cops not present,
you that don't have that positive mindset going in. Get with your local churches, your local men, get them involved. The more people that get involved in the community and change a child's mindset, if you change just one child's mindset, you're making progress. You're completing success. To change three or four, the more mindset you change and put them on a more positive road, just as they did with me, they changed my mindset. They got involved. It wasn't just my mom and dad's fault, you know. They started getting more involved, and my mom got more on top of things. You know, parents came in, more people in the community came in and said, young man, you're doing wrong. You're going down the wrong path. But still yet, my mindset was, I wanted that fast money. I got locked up. When I got locked up, then I started realizing it was actually telling the truth. I was going to arrest it. So when I came up out of it, you know, we started saying REPM, restoring personal mindset. REPMS, restoring personal mindset. So that's what we do as a group now. We go and restore personal mindset. Not just youth, but it was as adults. So I think with everything that's going on in today's world, if the community get more involved. You know, if things are scary, we want to mind our own business, but at some point, you got to get more involved. Especially
absolutely.
When you got, you know, relatives
absolutely.
As well as friends. You know, I wouldn't mind if I was going, me and Queen to each other, me and AJ to each other, and my children was doing something wrong. Yeah, tell me about it, because I'm not going to see everything. You know, I told about it, I'm not going to see the dog, but if a child is doing something wrong, especially, you know, in your church or neighborhood, it shouldn't be no problem. You just pick up the telephone. You ain't got to go over there because you don't know what mindset that adult may have over in the household. But you say, hey, I saw such and such the other day. They was attempting to steal something. So I said something to them. They put it back. Or I saw them with the wrong crowd, you know, or they was doing this, doing that. Teach children what to do when they see a gun on the street. Because in this community here, you got four or five of this year, don't just keep picking it up, take it home and hide. Because they think, oh, it's like a toy gun. I can take it, I can point it at anybody. I'm going to pull the trigger. Oh, that person's going to come right back. You know, when you pull that trigger, that child is dead. And that happens a lot through America. Children taking guns because parents don't want to, you know, lock their guns up. My gun, me, I got five guns in the house. All of them secured, the lock and the key, and it hit. Nobody knows where that but me. When my wife knows, was living, she knows where it's at. But other than that, nobody knows where it's at for me. Don't leave that key around. Don't let your child see you going to get your gun to know where your gun is at. You know, you got to keep things unlocked. You just can't come home and say, well, I'm clean. I'm going to get up and go to the bath. I'm going to leave my gun right here on the table. Your child is around.
That's absolutely right. That's right. I agree with you on that situation.
They was on TV going, bang, bang, bang. They might try it. Or they might not. So even if you go to the bathroom, go ask the telephone, I'm about to walk away for a little while, take your gun. Leave it on that table or leave it in that car that they know is in the glove compartment. Your glove compartment is unlocked. That's how I see it, that you don't put it in there and they know it's in there. They're going to get it. They're going to play it because they get both. Or give them something
absolutely.
To do. Matter of fact, don't even leave your child in the car. You know, when I used to go places when my young son, I had sight, I wouldn't leave my child. Even if I just go in the gas, they going in there with.
We showed up
appreciation.
A lot of times, we showed up appreciation.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, for the listeners that can listen to this podcast later on in the week or tomorrow or whenever you listen to it, we want you all to be safe. If you do have firearms, please make sure it's secure in a safe lockbox or safe with a lock. Do not put your shoe. Don't put your gun in the shoebox. This is not good times. You're not James Evans. Do not put it behind a door, under a couch cushion. Do not put it under a mattress because kids are curious. They will find that gun. And when you find that gun, 9 times out of 10, you don't have it unloaded. The clip is right next to it. Kids are very smart, and you don't want nobody to get killed here. We want you to be safe here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. So please, if you're going to have a firearm, be responsible and have it secure in a lockbox. Take some of that stimulus money that you haven't spent yet and get you a lockbox or safe.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Don't fuck it up. Yeah.
Damn, that's true.
And we're back. This is AJ and the Squad here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Put this number in your phone, 424-243-9617. AJ and the Squad. Now back to the show.
I love it.
Absolutely. Miss Uncheckable, I didn't know. I know you had wanted to say something a minute or two ago. Did you still have something you would like to talk about?
I can't even remember what I was going to say. I don't get know.
I know when we were talking about the police and stuff.
I still don't remember what I was going to say.
That's okay.
And Murray,
maybe
to
make a little contact
to
you. It's all right. It happens sometimes.
Yeah, I knew it was about to, something about the police.
Yeah, something about the police. Oh, that's what I was going to say. You
see?
Know, police, they have been crooked since I can remember, you know. It's always been a few crooked cops. You know, back where I live at, where I grew up at, they was at one point in time, police was ending up dead. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, police, everybody has a side to them that nobody knows about. You can hire them, do background checks or whatever. You never know that person. You never know that person. So, you know, it's still crooked cops out here. It could have happened back in 1950, whatever. It's still crooked cops out here. And it's still some good cops. Every cop is not a bad cop, you know. Mm-hmm. I just try to instill that in my daughter's mind, like, police pull you over. Everything needs to be where it's at. Don't be going crazy, popping off at the mouth,
right,
talking stuff, because I know my child. And, you know, it's a lot of parents out there that, you know, they'll tell you, oh, my child do something, let me know. But you have them parents that, oh, my child didn't do that, little John didn't do that, or little Sarah didn't do that. How you know? How you know?
Correct.
Well, my daughter teaches just to call me and tell me my daughter did something. I'm like, yep, that's her. They be like, what you say? That's her. I know. She act like that at home. She act like that at home. She'll take you somewhere else. Yeah. So that's my, you know, my say on that. Like, we still got bad cops. We got good cops. And us as parents, we need to, you know, be there for our kids. Because it's a lot of parents let their kids raise themselves.
Exactly.
And they be wondering, where did I go wrong or what? You were never there.
Correct.
You wasn't never there. So
let me give,
you got to
stay
in tune with your kids.
Yeah. And let me give you a first on the first 48. This person was hurt. Not no longer here. My baby was a good baby, and she was good. She loved Julie great, and she ain't never hurt nobody.
It always is.
Well, let them bring let them look more into that situation. Everything gonna come out.
Now they're gonna do a balloon release. We love you, little Mook Mook. We love you. We love you.
And then at the same time they're doing a balloon release, they gotta put up a GoFundMe page because they ain't got no insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We're selling chicken dinners. We're selling chicken dinners and having car washes
when they died. So
to help bury little Mook Mook, we're having chicken dinners and car wash. Come back, get your car washed.
We're gonna try to sell them Jordans they just had on their feet that you went and bought the other day. But then you can't got no life insurance though.
Right, that part right there.
And $300 Jordans.
You can buy you some new hat every month, but you can't put up some money to for your kid insurance. Come on now.
Right, and that ain't much of nothing. And that's a good topic we need to bring up one night.
She did everybody's hair in the neighborhood for free. If you didn't have no money, little Mook Mook would do your hair.
Public service announcement.
Well, we got 10 minutes left on the show. Got 2 minutes left on the Six Eyes Radio Network here. I'm glad y'all two brought something up because it brings a case that happened in Memphis about, I think this case happened about a year ago from today. There was a young lady who got pulled over.
Hold on. I'm jumping you now. I'm jumping your ass. All right, everybody, don't hang up. Don't hang up after the show. We're going to shift gears. Everybody stay on the line. We're going to go into gas prices. We're going to go into Kanye West. And we're going to just hang out before we get off. All right. See how I jumped you, ATL?
Yeah, that's cool. Cool. I'm glad we jumped in that. Definitely, definitely. Do you want me to finish that one? Because since y'all was there, or you want me to go ahead and just jump into the next one? We just come back to this topic another day.
Yeah, no, go ahead. No,
oh,
go ahead.
Y'all
said
something that's key, that's very key to America now, and this is more debating into most of our community because we're the ones get flagged for it. We'll have an individual, this young lady, which was pulled over, did not do nothing the officer said. I mean, I watched this whole case, and I watched the whole video. I remember my friend, the friends of the network, Mr. Brian Taylor, let me see this show. He let me see it. See this video. This young lady was out of Memphis. She was pulled over. The officer asked her to step out the car. She galloped the car and she ran around in the car. She ran from the officer. She ran all the way around. The officer tried to get her. Once she got to the car, she pulled out a gun. She got in the car and got a gun out. He told her to stop. Put the gun down. He pulled out his gun, put the gun down. She shot at him. He had to shoot and kill her. Mother came on, knew the video. Oh, they killed my baby. She didn't do nothing wrong. She just got out. The cops should have never touched her. She should have never been arrested. She should have never been pulled over. She should have never done none of that. So this is something that y'all said just right in the case that it actually does go down. And then we want, and again, another GoFundMe crowd because they want, no one could pay insurance. She didn't have. So it seems like something that actually gets, and it makes the media, and people make comments and start saying, well, you know, he didn't have to kill her. And I was saying, well, you forget that she had a gun, and he told her to put it down, and she shot at him. And he had to shoot her so he could defend his life. So it's a two-way street. We're going two-way street with some of these folks. And the problem, I believe, that we're having in our communities, and this is just the community because what I see on TV, is we have a very bad history with this situation. But then we also give these people who are doing bad, I kind of like we want to give them a pass on the back. And say, oh, well, the cops should have never stopped. Then I'm just going to go ahead and, because we definitely need to bring this conversation. Let's go to gas prices. Let me go ahead and let y'all go ahead, because everybody needs to make a comment, and we got 7 minutes. So let me let y'all go. I'll close out. Go ahead. Complete.
Well,
you want to go, Mr. Sick?
Well, AJ. I don't know what's going on as far as the gas prices right now. Like, I think the national average is like $4.34 a gallon. That's for regular. So just imagine what Supreme is going for right now. But once again, that goes back to what's going on in the global markets right now. All this BS that Biden has going on with the shutdown of the Keystone. You have different situations where we don't have to be experiencing these gouges, these prices. Some of it has been reported is being done intentionally. It's not like we don't have oil or gas in this country that we can tap into. So I think, like I say, once again, it's part of the agenda. You know, and that's just my personal opinion. But all of a sudden now you're paying more at the pump, you're paying more to take trips, whether it's cruise boats or anything. So I think, like I say, all that's a part of the agenda as far as the price is going up. And then, of course, you got summertime coming up, and people are going to want to take vacations. So, we'll see how long these prices last. And then you have the inflation that's supposed to be going up. So everything is supposed to be going up even more. So, you have a lot of people still out of work or just getting back to work. And, on top of all the other things that you're dealing with, the high prices in grocery stores and in clothing stores and everywhere else, and, it just doesn't help that we're having to pay, $4.34 for a gallon of gas. I remember when gas was 79 cents a gallon, so I'm just...
I remember 39.
Yeah. So we definitely come a long way. And... you know, hopefully it's not going to rise too much more, but they're literally talking about $5 for a gallon of gas. Mm-hmm. So you know, I'd like to know what you talk about that, and I'm complete.
May I?
Absolutely, you may.
This is Queen. You were talking about the gas. We've got a local chain here called Ingles, and they give you these advantage cards to their store. You know, you send so much, you get so much on gas points. Do you know the last week they have not even been? And so usually if the gas is like $4.09, if you got an advantage card, you can get it for like maybe $3.99. You know, it just depends on how much you got on there and how many points you have. So they've cut off their pumps for that particular control to where you can't use your advantage card to get the cheaper gas. So they had this big old mess going on here all this week at the grocery store. I mean, every grocery store doesn't have it. It's just certain stores he has. But for me, and I have a regular size car, but it took me $36 to fill up my gas tank from a fourth of a tank where normally I can fill it up for about 30 from E. So that, you know, it goes to show this gas has made a big difference in a lot of lives, I'm just going to say mine in particular, and not being able to use that gas card, that was a big difference. It's, you know, that's $6. That's $6. We're talking about $6 worth of gas, which should have given me a half a tank of gas or give me a quarter of a tank of gas. So it's really making a big difference. But you know what, though? People ain't even looking at it like that. People still traveling. They still going where they're going. They still doing. And that's good, though. That's good. Because that just shows our faith in Christ that he's going to fix this and work this out for us. Because you can't sit around worrying about everything that's going on. You know, you've got to keep moving. You've got to keep going. And two, I just want to say this and totally off the market. But when this is over, any of the squad, could you meet us over there in 71 as soon as this is over? Okay, I just want to throw that out there too. But still, but we can't let none of this that's going on bother us. We got to keep going. We got to keep our faith in Christ and just know he's going to fix all this eventually. We just got to ask for the strength to go through it until it does.
You guys are going to an after party. Am I invited?
You can come to the after party. Yes, you can.
Can I? Oh, my.
Yes.
All right. Well, what I got to do?
We're just going to give you the number. I'm serious, too.
All right. I'm going to the after party.
You're
going
to come to the after party with us. Yes.
May I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
May I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Amen. Evangelist Clayton, Tallahassee. Listen, it doesn't behoove us even when we loan our cars to our family members, and you loan it on a full tank and then come back on a quarter of a tank, you know, and it just behooves us now, you know, with the gas price, the oil and everything. It seems as though that due to the fact that the gas price now here in Tallahassee, regular is $4.19 here in Tallahassee, and that's at Sam's. So Sam's supposed to have the cheapest gas here in Tallahassee, other than Exxon and Almaco and all the rest of the other stations in Circle K's and so forth. Walmart Sam's. Mm-hmm. Supposed to have the cheapest regular, but the Supreme is extremely what, $4.29, $4.39 or something like that. But every minute and every second you look around, you can go, you know, 15 minutes ago, and now, you know, it's 30 minutes later, and the price has changed. It's changed. You know, so much has changed, and even in the at Popeyes. You get a 10-piece only chicken. I mean, not a 10-piece, a 4-piece dark meat and 2 biscuits for $10. Four pieces of chicken. You can buy your whole chicken. Get an 8-piece.
Yeah,
right.
You know, you used to be able to.
Yeah.
Now, for me being from the segregated days, we used to go run and catch our chicken off the yard. You know, used to run. Used to chase the chicken down, go catching, swinging, clucking,
right.
And in the grease. In the grease, ready to eat.
Wow.
So much has changed. Amen. So much the price. I remember regular was 99 cents, 79 cents, you know, but look at the price now. Look at the price now.
Yeah, everything has gone up. And the stuff is shrinking. I mean, everything is growing up in price, but it's getting smaller. Now today I got 20 chicken wings, an order of rib tips, and a large fry. $64.
Damn.
That was at B&M's Barbecue. $64, 20 wings, a large fry, and an order of rib tips. Large rib tips.
Oh God.
Dang. Why for that?
Right here.
I could have went to the store
and
got that.
At that price,
before,
you don't
want to
see
it. And then, too, your bag may not have even been filled when you came out. You came out with a whole bag.
Can I just real quick before y'all, just real quick, only because of what Six Eyes said, and I don't know if you've heard about it, but that's one of the things they're doing. Like, I don't know if you heard about the Doritos, where they took five Dorito chips out of the bag, but they're still charging you full price. They're doing that with a lot of stuff. And I don't know if we want to talk about this at another time, but like I said, they're giving us smaller stuff, smaller portions, and charging us even more for the portions. So that just, I thought that was interesting when you said that about, what's going on out there.
Oh, them girls. Let's talk about some Girl Scout cookies. We've had all this now.
Listen, we don't have a problem with the Girl Scout cookies. Don't mess with the Girl Scout cookies.
But I still love them, shoot. I still buy me $50 worth. Hello?
The mint things, what you talking about?
Yes.
The chips like you was just talking about, AJ. At school, we sell these baked cheddar and sour cream chips for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the smaller bag, the average size bags. But I opened one other day and I was eating one. I kid you not, there was 12 pieces of chips in that bag.
I counted them.
And that's why I opened it, because the bag was so flat and I wanted to make sure there was something in it for us. And I looked at that and I literally counted those chips. There was 12 chips in that bag.
That was crazy.
And you know, they've been doing that with the chips for the longest now.
Absolutely, you may.
You know, Queen, even that bag of chips, you know, and because they get cheap now, the air used to fill it where you think you got your big bag of chips, but you can hear them. Now they don't even put as much air in it now.
The air
what it is.
Right.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
They said we don't got to thank the fuck now. They already know.
I think one of the gentlemen has something to talk about. I didn't mean to cut you off, since I didn't know if that was about gas or you wanted to talk about something else.
You mean to say something about Kanye?
Well, definitely wanted to know about the gas price and what you think about that. The good thing about it, we're not going to have to pay for any gas unless somebody's taking us somewhere. That's a good thing right there.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
We are meant
to be driven. Some people are meant to drive. We are meant to be driven.
So far.
So, Queen, you're exempt from that. You're exempt. You're meant to be driven, too.
I feel a little left out of there.
You're going to be in the back seat with me.
No, you're all right.
It's cool.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on. Now, AJ, you've seen that that commercial. Hey, AJ, how's it going? Hey, I have 15 cameras in this.
May I?
Absolutely, she may.
You've seen that commercial, Quinn?
Yes, sir.
Never leave. Oh, yes. I was going to say so.
AJ, we're not going to have any problems, are we?
No, we're not going to have any problems at all. Absolutely not. Somebody said that the Godfather wanted to say something.
Yes, he did.
I think what is really happening, and they're blaming it on the Ukraine and Russia fight, that everything is going up and that we're not able to get oil from Russia. Well, we have oil, and it doesn't make sense that the president would not release the oil to the people. We got it. We can have that type of problem. And it's really pathetic what is going on. And it's all just politics. That's all it is, because we got the oil.
That's all.
It's all.
We want to blame Ukraine and Russia for what's going on. Give me a break. We got oil. And we don't only get oil from Russia. We get it from other places. So. And then plus we got oil that's locked up. And all that the president got to do is release the oil to the people. Why would you make your people suffer when you can do something about it?
And it's just real quick, has anybody noticed what happened to the fracking? You remember how every day you turned the news on, it was fracking, natural gas, fracking, fracking. What happened to all that?
Mm-hmm. We'll blame Putin for that, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Or China or Saudi Arabia.
China.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know if y'all remember not too long ago, Saudi Arabia had one of their oil fields hit, and one of the oil fields that got blew up was 5% of, you know, the world's oil. So, like I say, it's always a part of an agenda with me, so that's just one more piece to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm about to throw a number out there, and when I throw this number out here, I hope y'all are sitting down. Vladimir Putin, I'm gonna have y'all guess. I'm gonna start with the Queens, of course. Vladimir Putin, for the Queens, what do you think his net worth is worth?
This is Queen. I'm gonna say about $17 billion.
Okay. Uncheckable.
This is uncheckable. I think about $10 million.
In million? Okay.
I mean billion. I'm sorry. I meant to say billion. My bad.
Amen.
Okay.
I think his net worth is about $45 billion.
Okay. Okay. You came the closest. His net worth is $70 billion.
Ooh.
That's a lot.
They told me pay 50. Yeah. I know it's there. Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Yes, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
You know, ever since the war has started, it has been over resources. Resources.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, Biden has suspended trade with Russia, but we do trade with them. You know, so he's suspended that. So it's kind of like putting some, we can't go outside on the weekend. It's going to be hot outside. And we can't go outside. I mean, that's how it is right now. You know, but it doesn't make any sense. So, it doesn't make any sense. So we're going to move away from politics. And now we're going to talk about Kanye West. And watch out, because he might be listening. So we've got to make sure he doesn't call. Because he might. ATL is scared of him. Yeah, ATL is scared of Kanye.
By the way, we are in our bonus hour right now here live on the 6 Hours Radio Network. We cannot get any more calls, but you guys feel free to definitely join the conversation. You know, first one, if anyone has not, join one if y'all feel free to talk about Mr. Kanye. But I'm going to pass the ball back to 6 Hours about Kanye West.
Thank you. Yeah, so Kanye West, Ye, whatever you want to call him, very, very successful, great producer, fashion with the Yeezys, you know. But Kanye West is still in love with Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian has moved on. He's dating Pete David. And Kanye has moved right across the street from her. Can you imagine breaking up with your ex? Can you imagine breaking up with your ex? And he moved right across the street from her. The man is still in love with her. For Valentine's Day, he brought her a truck full of roses.
Wow.
a truck. You women, you like that? You like that uncheckable? When a truck full of roses?
That's a little stalkerish, you think? Like, I don't like now, that. I mean, that sounds sweet, but no. You know.
If he was on the line, he'll be. Good thing he's not on the line.
Kanye couldn't even handle uncheckable. Okay.
Let me click over and call him, because I would love this. The way he looks. I'm not going to call him this. But we're going to have him. See how
we definitely got to bring him on another time. This is DJ TLN Styles, but I do want to give him some defense. And I think a lot of people are missing the picture with Kanye since his mother passed. And I think this has been really one of the biggest issues. And we got to understand the kind of circumstances he's in. Kanye just wants a family. I think he loves his family. And I think that he has a lot of issues. And the issues and the love, the kind of issues he was getting, he wasn't going to get into that family. That family is more or less being driven by social media and everything. I mean, come on. Kardashian brand is big itself. You got to remember, Kim Kardashian fame came from sleeping around.
Watching, we got a pastor on the line.
Right, and I think we got a lot of us got to understand that, and I'm not saying that the family is dysfunctional or anything, but if you notice that all the men that have been dated, all the Kardashians, all of them are famous, and they all have issues of not really being famous for what we call career. It's always something that was like a sex tape or something that's negative, and they got famous off of it. So I think Kanye, when you add Kanye to that, when his mother passed and he's trying to have a family structure, and I'm just saying, that family, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to nag him and shoot him down, but it's just like, I think what Kanye is trying to pull out of them is not getting out. When he looks at Jay-Z, I'm going to put an example, when he looks at all the other folks out there who have families, they got family in too, he's not getting that same kind of support in that same level. He's going through breakthroughs and being a celebrity, and I tell anybody, it's not easy being a celebrity. It's not easy having a lot of fun. Because when it comes with celebrity, there comes a lot of pressure and comes with a lot of problems. Your problems get multiplied. Everyone wants for you to solve a situation that you can't even solve, because you can't even solve your own situation. So
how do you think he looks? How do you think Kanye feels when he wakes up to have cereal at the breakfast table? When he grew up, and now the man is Miss Doubtfire. Used to be the Wheaties guy, now he's Miss Doubtfire. How do you think Kanye feels?
I'm going to be honest. I think he feels like everything, his world has completely turned upside down. And I think a lot of times when he's talking, he's trying to grab attention. He's trying to find some kind of reality to make himself acceptable. When he gets out, he says some of the things like from Terry Trump, going on some kind of reality show, and he just starts talking. He's really talking because of the problems, and he's trying to find some kind of release for him to release himself, which he says he brought this out, and I think this is a great thing. He's trying to break through. He's not breaking out.
Yes.
He's trying to break through his psychological problems. And I don't think the Kardashians or no one, if they're not a great structure, is going to break that out. Now, I'm going to give a great example of somebody that I feel right now, and I wish this lady gets a lot more credit. The young lady who married Gucci Mane. I'm bringing her up. Gucci Mane, the rapper, was on his way to be completely locked up forever. She came and changed his diet. She came and did so many things to make him a better person. And she's like, no, I'm just surprised we're not talking about this young lady. This young lady has completely changed his whole diet and put this guy on a whole nother path from the path that he was on in self-destruction. And this is a black young lady, and I think this is the reason why no one's talking about it. But she took a man who was having all these issues and was going to go to prison. I know people who know him personally. Some people tell me that's not even him. It's a clone. And I'm just giving you an example. Those kind of individuals is someone that Kanye West need to be with.
someone who knows and understands family values, a strong woman, a strong person that can give him advice on life and which direction he's going in. But I'm going to be honest with Kim Kardashian, can't do that. He's a little bit too much for her. She still doesn't even know a path of where she's trying to go. But Kanye is trying to find something that, like I say again, from someone that does not even have a level of understanding for him.
Yes, you may.
Thank you. This is Queen. I find it kind of unfair that you are, DJ, putting this out on Kim. You say Kanye's looking for a family, and, you know, his mom passed, and condolences to him. But all this happened before his mom passed. He didn't just get with Kim. He's been with Kim several children ago. So even if he's looking for this love and this family, he should have known a long time ago it wasn't Kim, but that didn't stop him from being with Kim. But it didn't stop him from
he has a family. No, kids. Don't get me wrong. He has a family.
No. DJ, I didn't interrupt you.
Right.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you can't put this on Kim. He knew where Kim came from when Kim came from it. You know, everybody knew what Kim was. But you pursued this woman. You married this woman. You know, as they used to say, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Well, he tried, obviously. So whatever he's missing didn't come from Kim. Kanye, you know, if he's on him, listen, I'm sorry. But Kanye has shown himself to be kind of out there a little bit sometimes. You know, he is who he is. But I don't think all his troubles and trials and tribulation came from the fact that Kim came from where she came from. And I'm finished.
All right. Now, I want you all to picture this. This is Six Eyes speaking. I want you all to picture this. ATL, AJ, Mr. Two-Piece, Godfather. Now, more so the guy, we grew up eating Wheaties. We thought Wheaties would make us strong. You know, we ate two bowls sometimes. Am I correct in this? In this? Did we not eat growing up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
How the heck does Bruce Jenner turn into Caitlyn Jenner, Miss Doubtfire?
Mm-hmm. That part.
Somebody answer that question. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he turned into
that
it.
That part right there.
Go ahead.
That part got to be crazy. Now, you sit up there and you put a box of Wheaties, the old box with Bruce Jenner, and put a box of Wheaties up there with Jenner, and just eat your cereal and look up from time to time. And he's up there eating across from you as Caitlyn Jenner. You tell me how that breakfast is going to go. This is Six Eyes, and damn it, I can...
That was for my breakfast. That is not a pretty sight.
Right. I don't know. Me personally, I would like to take.
Besides, you just brought the light to it. That's what I was trying to get to, but I didn't want to go there.
You gotta say what you gotta say. I want to bring another angle to it, only because I've heard it, the lyrics in his song. My life was never easy. And he talks about a lot of the things that we're talking about right now. So I don't know the man to talk about his, you know, psychological, mental health issues, whatever the case may be. We all have psychological, mental health issues. That's just my personal opinion. But if we're talking about this man who bought a mansion next door, and if that's just so he could be closer to his kids, that's fine. Now, if you want to talk about the stalkerish activities, that's a whole other situation. Because I've heard that his new girlfriend, or you know, looks like Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's a lot of ways you can go with that. But as long as that man is taking care of his children, as long as that man is taking care of his responsibilities, I don't know how you deal with Caitlyn Jenner, let alone, you know, Bruce Jenner. That's just me personally. But, you know, dealing with the whole Kardashian clan, I don't, you know, we've all seen the reality too. Who would want to, not me, I know, I don't care how much money I had or how much money they have. I would never want to be a part of that craziness for real. So.
Right.
That's just my thought. I'm complete.
Is this
is Caitlin. Hello, everyone. Six eyes. Hello. On the
no, it was all for ratings. It was all for ratings. Wake up one
you
day.
You all
want to
have
may I?
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
You know, talking about Kanye West, you know, I think that even when Kanye came up, I think that there was some simplicity what they call it today, ADHD, attention hyper-deficit syndrome. I think that he had always been structured because he was a mama's baby, and I think that he was merely more treated sensitive, and I think that he takes everything down to at heart, and I feel like he's trying to grasp hold. You know how the you're crying in the wilderness and nobody see you because you're covered in glamorous with celebrities and dollar bills until people don't see the real hurt, the real cry down within and to be rejected, you know, to feel rejected. And then as a rebounding, you know, and I think rebounding playing a lot to do with it and trying to fix something that's broken. It's very, very hard and very difficult. But one thing for sure that we can do, regardless of who they are and what is going on, that we definitely continue to pray and I saw a turnaround and a change that he find whom he is and not try to take the latch of being afraid to fall, you know, to be able to spread your knees and you can get up, put a bandage on it and keep it moving, you know. So, you know, a lot of times we're just made like that. And you know, because you're out there at a young age. You know, I remember when him and T-Pain and Jamie Foxx and them was here and getting ready for the March 100 homecoming. You know, it just something I always set off different, that are different from him than it is those others that he came up with in the music industry and life period. So I just think that we're dealing with something that we see in our hands. We're seeing it. So all we can do is pray. But I'm completely. That's all I want to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, you all might be hungry. I have a chicken wing and a rib tip for you.
What kind of sauce is on that, by the way? Because
it's the B&M sauce.
Oh, okay.
So I do have B&M. A wing. I need to know what's going on with that Chicago deep dish pizza. How are we doing? Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Mm-hmm. Your deep dish.
Yes, I haven't except today.
Huh?
That's all I had.
I got some chicken for you.
The chicken and
got some chicken.
All right. We almost at the end of our show. We went over in our bonus hour, man. I thought we had a great.
I don't know if APL will be back next week. I'm trying to find out what's going on with this pizza.
Yeah, man.
He wants that deep dish pizza, Unshakable. You're going to have to handle that. Like, freeze it, you know, freeze
right.
Dry it and mail it, ship it overnight, you know. Put it on some dry ice, you know.
I asked him what would he like on his pizza.
Mushrooms, pepperoni,
uh-huh.
Italian
uh-huh.
sausage. Mushrooms, pepperoni, and Italian sausage.
Okay, mushroom, pepperoni, and Italian sausage. I ain't gonna tell you, I had that on Friday.
Oh, no. Oh.
Just rubbing.
But I had spinach in mine as well, too.
That sounds good. I need your mind too.
It was good too. I got you. I'm gonna see if we can make something happen.
All right, I'm not gonna eat here. What is this? March 20th. This March 20th?
Yes, it's actually March. Today is the 20th.
So I will not be eating until I get that pizza.
Mm. What?
You heard it here first on the Six Size Radio Network. Mr. Six is going on a fast.
He's going on a fast until he gets his pizza.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, guys, we're going to go ahead and get ready to close this out. We're getting ready to go into 2 a.m. I know we pushed a little bit over. Next week, we're definitely going to have to bring more of this conversation back. I know we've been having a whole bunch of different topics to talk about, but a lot, definitely do a lot next week. Anybody, before we all go, I'm going to let everyone come out and say a closing before we come off the air, and we just do that. I'll be the last to close it out. Go ahead, y'all start.
Queens, go ahead, for sure.
All right, well, this is the Queen from North Carolina. Just want to say I enjoy the show as always. Look forward to next week. Mr. Six, thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity. It's definitely a pleasure and an honor. Don't forget, Squad, meet over in 71. Mr. Six, you're more than welcome to come. You're more than welcome to come. We didn't talk to you anywhere about you being our special guest for a couple of weeks. So, yeah.
Yeah, because now what is that? What did I just do? Dial 71? I mean, what?
No, so
somebody got to help.
So the show is off now, right? Am I correct in assuming that?
Yeah,
okay,
so there's a phone number.
So there's a phone number you have to call, and you have to follow the prompts to certain rooms. So once you dial the phone number and you start talking, you'll press 1, and then press 1 again, and then press 71 pound. So when you're ready, I'll give you that phone number.
Okay. My number is not going to be published, is it?
No, it only show your first 3 and your last 2. It won't show the whole phone number.
The area code and your last 2.
And you'll be secure because that's my room, so you don't have to worry about any issues or any problems.
Oh, Six Size, I always been a big fan. Can I get an autograph?
Right.
Wow.
But no, this is Uncheckable from Chicago. I am very honored to be on this show. Thank you guys for having me. You guys be safe. Until next time.
All right.
Is Evangelist Clayton still here?
Amen. Amen. This is Evangelist Clayton. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. And I thank God for just being on this 6-hour radio network. And amen. Give it an opportunity for output and to gain insight. So thank you for having me here. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, we're welcome, Emily. You still here? Okay, maybe she gone. Any of the other fellas?
Okay. It is.
Two-piece
from South Carolina. It's been a great pleasure. You know, I love the opportunity to let my voice be heard. So thank you for having me, Six Eyes. And AJ, thanks for inviting me to be a part of your squad. So appreciate it. Looking forward to next week.
Absolutely.
Complete.
And go ahead. Anybody else? I just want to say real quick, of course, thank you to Mr. Six Eyes and the Radio Network for letting us be a part of this platform. Of course, to Mr. DJ ATL, much respect. And, of course, to the squad, without you, it wouldn't be me. There wouldn't be a us without Mr. Six. There would not be a us. There would not be a me. So I appreciate and much respect to you, sir. And I'm complete.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And I guess I'll close it out. This is Six Eyes. And remember, each breath you take is a gift. Don't believe me? Hold your breath. Not only will you see, you'll feel. Good night. That's from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
It's your boy, DJ ATLM Styles, like I say every time on the show. always let everybody know, tell people how you feel. Don't be afraid to tell people how you feel and let everybody know. And always remember, your life is important to you. And everything you do in your life is important to you. So you don't have to have let no one tell you that your life matters, because you matter, because your life is what you is. So let's go ahead and close the show out completely. It's your boy DJ ATL Atlanta Styles. Like I say, drop it, drop it, drop it. Don't be afraid of how you feel.
It's your boy DJ ATL Atlanta Styles. Don't be afraid of how you feel. Drop it, drop it, drop it.
Drop it.